好啦，我哋今晚咧翻继续我哋嘅今晚嘅讲题啦，就系外星接触手记人类嘅蜕变。咁我哋今晚嘅嘉宾咧系远由澳洲嚟嘅Mary Rockwell 啦。咁我哋头先都讲及啦，其实接触到或者见过UFO 啊，或者有外星人嘅接触嘅人，其实系比我哋想象中多嘅。我哋都成日都即系以为唔系好多人知啦，咁所以有啲人遇到啦，都唔系咁讲嘅。咁但系你曾经睇到啦，喺澳洲最近嗰、那个那个调查啦，咁750人里边咧，竟然咧发现咧有5位有一位咧系有呢方面嘅经验嘅。咁但系点解大家都唔系好敢讲咧？咁始终咧，即系一般人嘅感觉咧，即系一般人都唔会相信你啦吓。你讲呢样嘢，人哋会觉得你系个怪人嘅。咁但系形势而家开始改紧噶啦。咁各地嘅政府啦，咁似乎咧都好似开始咧系将呢方面嘅过去搜集嘅资料咧系慢慢地放翻出嚟嘅。譬如2004年咧，墨西哥政府咧嗰、那个曾经广播佢哋嘅空军以红外线咧系追踪过外星群嘅。咁到2007年咧，法国嘅太空总署咧亦都公布50年里边咧系差唔多成过万次嘅 UFO 嗰啲记录嘅。咁最近咧就係英國國防部咧都個網站咧，亦都即係將以前話即係唔存在嘅機密嘅檔案咧都公布出嚟嘅。咁開始聯合國咧都開始對呢方面咧係慢慢地咁即係慢慢地咁泄漏出嚟啦。咁甚至乎梵蒂岡都好咧開始轉態嘅。So now we know the situation has changed, you know, because the government all over the world are beginning to reveal this sort of information document they have kept secret for a long time. Why is this such a change of heart all of a sudden? What do you think, you know, is happening now?
Why the governments are finally, or at least some of them, we know that MOD and Ministry of Defense in England has, France,
right.
Mexico and Brazil. They're some of the countries that have finally let us see the documents, or at least some of them. Much of it is still blacked out, I might add, even so. But I think it's because so many are seeing these craft and actually talking about it. It's becoming harder and harder to say they don't exist. So they're really being forced, I believe, not only by people who are taking, you know, people have got videos on their cameras now, you know, sorry, should I say they've got, you know, with their phones, they've got video or got cameras on their phones. You know, people have got video cameras, they've got, you know, digital cameras, and nobody minds about taking them because they're small and handy now. So there's more chance of taking this footage. I have seen some incredible footage from just average people, you know, that have been walking along the street at night and suddenly seeing this craft and taking, you know, a certain amount of minutes of this particular footage. And there's some incredible footage out there now. I saw some only recently, which was over the fields in Wiltshire, where they were, you know, these four egg-shaped craft that were just, you know, they were just seeing them out the window. This kind of footage is all around the world. It's becoming much harder to hide it. And I think also there is pressure from these intelligences to finally get some kind of disclosure on this planet. And I think they are also forcing the issue.
But why would the government want to hide these sort of things? You know, what do you think are the reasons?
Well, it's a very complex one, but to try and give you an overview in a few sentences, when such things like the crash at Roswell, who, you know, many people know that was a reality, that there was actually a crash at Roswell. In fact, from ExoPolitics, when I went to Hawaii a few years ago, I was told there's been at least 76 recovered of these spacecraft around the world. There's been crashes in South Africa, right through to Russia, South America, for example. What happened was when they had these, when they recovered these crashes, many of the technology was reverse engineered. They saw that this technology was going to be very useful for lots of reasons, including military reasons. If you think that suddenly you've got technology way beyond what's known on this planet, it makes it a lot of sense to keep it quiet.
To yourself. That's
mm-hmm. right. And the that was one of the things that Eisenhower actually talked about, because he was supposed to meet with these intelligences. And what he was saying was he was warning against the military corporate elite having this technology, because if they got hold of it, and eventually keeping a lot of the government, this secret from a lot of the government as well, the, you know, in power at that time, they're able to reverse engineer this technology. But to give you an example, if you had technology that could provide every person on this planet with free energy for the rest of their lives, costing them nothing, what do you think would happen to our society in terms of what does the economy run on? You know, fossil fuels. What if you didn't need any of that? And for 60 years, in fact, may not have ever needed that. Would you actually want people to have that? If you were in fact using, you know, part of the corporations that use, that own the planet through fossil fuels, of course you wouldn't. So disclosures happened a lot more because it, you know, they could, these, the people that have the power, that have this kind of technology, know that if we had free energy and stuff like that, it would change the whole balance of power on this planet. So it's more for economic, social, and political reasons that it's been kept quiet, and far less than is it going to shake a person's paradigm. 76% of people were asked, do they believe in intelligent life or the possibility we're not alone? And that was another survey done. 76% believed that we were not alone. They're not, I don't think, you know, the general public will have a problem with that once it's known and been admitted to. The problem is still that we're told it's not real and that you're crazy.
Now, among the 1,500 people you actually study and work with, what were the transformation, you know, of these people with this kind of experience?
What happens is that the experience itself forces people to embrace a larger paradigm, a multidimensional reality. They become far more psychic and aware. And when I say psychic, it means that they can tune in to this greater multidimensional reality. It means they can see energy fields. They are often become more empathic. They can actually tune into feelings and emotions with people. Many of them, when they're very young, can even communicate telepathically. And some of the clients that I've had have talked that when they were children, that they used to communicate telepathically with their siblings. And there was an interesting one where a gentleman told me that he used to communicate telepathically with his sister until one day she told him to stop being lazy and start talking. Mm. What it seems to happen is through this experience that it catapults them into this awareness of a greater reality, which changes the way they see the world. And when they go up on the spacecraft, they're taught about that we can't destroy this planet. They're told that we must take care of it because it's a living, breathing organism, and that we have a responsibility not only to look after it for ourselves, that everything that we do to this planet actually affects our galactic neighbors, all these other intelligences that come from the cosmos. And so they're saying that, you know, even with our nuclear power, I mean, we see this, you know, as something, as a weapon. But what they're saying is that what we're doing is we're damaging not just our Earth and our planet, but we are affecting them also, even in terms of dimensions. So what happens is that it gets the individual to wake up to realizing that what the world that they've grown up in, which is so narrow and limited in terms of how, you know, we experience reality, let's face it, unless you can touch, feel, and see it, it's not real. What they're realizing is there's an unseen world of absolutely amazing potential, and that we can access that, and some people can actually see it. Some people can see spirits, for example. Some people can see angels, fairies, you know, a lot of these other non-physical, what we call non-physical energies or intelligences. But we say it's not real because some of us have got such a limited physical vision. But, you know, look at a dog. A dog can hear things that we can't hear. You know, and just because we can't hear them, does it mean the dog can't hear them? No, not at all. The dog just has the capacity to hear them. But what happens after they've been on the craft And through what I believe is certain genetic engineering that's done on the craft, they're producing individuals through interaction with them that have abilities to see far more beyond the physical universe. And from that, they change the way they see the world, the way they see the universe, because many of them even communicate with animals and even have a sense of understanding, you know, that the plant world, for example. Well, if you could understand how plants feel or animals feel, you would be the way you interact with them would be totally different. And this is how it changes them. They become cosmically minded instead of just earthbound. And that's the difference.
Now, from your lecture yesterday, you know, you sort of conveyed the idea that many of these people were children, mm-hmm. right? So they were puzzled at their experience, and they couldn't verbalize it or mm-hmm. explain it. And some of them are just young adults or teenagers mm. and who seem to possess certain kind of knowledge that cannot be explained, you know, from mm. their experience. Now, I mean, people who have this kind of influence, I would think, do they tend to feel empowered to come out openly and talk about it? Or do they, why would they still, many of them would still shy from, you know, telling people about their experience? I mean, do they somehow in a, send a common message among the people you have interviewed?
Well, the first part of that question yeah. is about why they wouldn't come out right. and share this with other people. Mm-hmm. Tracy Taylor is one of the young ladies that I show does absolutely amazing geometric colored and drawings that she feels come through her from these intelligences. Also comes out with strange languages and strange scripts. What she told me was that when she used to go up on the spaceship when she was 5 years old, she thought everybody else did.
Oh.
So she didn't understand that when she went to school and talked about it, people would laugh at her and say, what are you talking about? So she soon learned that other people weren't talking about this. Therefore, it's best not to talk about it because otherwise you're not going to have any friends. Mm. And so gradually, she said, she dumbed herself down and that when she was 15, she noticed she had healing abilities, that she could use energy from her hands. Again, she didn't know who to tell because she was afraid that people would just think she was crazy. There are so many that come to me and say that they had these abilities when they were children but wouldn't talk about it in the end because they got laughed at. A young man only recently came to me in his 30s and said that when he was 4 years old, he was able to levitate his cars up into the air and play with them. But it wouldn't happen if he had friends around, and he couldn't work out why his friends couldn't do it. Now, these are the kinds of things that people tell me, and they tell me with absolute sincerity and honestly. They will say, you know, that they could often turn out light bulbs with their mind. They could actually turn traffic lights and change the colors. But when they realized other people couldn't do that, and if they talked about it, they were laughed at, they shut down. And a lot of the teenagers, I believe, shut down because they want to be the same as everybody else. They don't want to be different. They don't want to say, look, I can see colors around people. They don't want to say, you know, I can tune into your thoughts. One 13-year-old told me that she knew what her teacher was thinking. And she said, and what she's telling us and what she's thinking is quite different. And what she's thinking sometimes isn't very nice. Now, if the teacher knew that, what would happen if the teacher knew that? She wouldn't find it very nice either, would she? So, you know, this is why they don't talk about it, because they realize very quickly that it's not okay. It's like children that say they have imaginary friends. How do yeah. we know they're imaginary? Mm. Only because we can't see them? Does it mean they're not real? And this is what we have to question. The way that we understand our reality is programmed into us by our education, by our belief systems. But is that actually what reality is? Or is there a broader band of reality that we have not really fully honored and accepted as part of our reality because society and education and culture tells us this is what we must see, and anything beyond that that doesn't fit isn't real? Electricity, we can't see it, mm-hmm. but we know it's real. How about love? There's another one. Everybody knows love exists, but can you tell me what color it is? Can you tell me what it looks like? But you know what it feels, and you know when you get it, and you know when you don't get it. Mm-hmm. But it's unseen, but it's real. And this is what I'm talking about. So this is why they don't talk about it. And this is why we get so many people that shut down.
But there are bound to be people who like to boast about this, you know, extraordinary ability. I mean, wouldn't you think, you know, people who can really read people's mind and they will actually show off with it?
You would get some people that maybe would like to show that they're different. But the bottom line is, for most people, because it's programmed into our society to conform, it's programmed in our society to be acceptable, it's really hard for children to be different. You know, immediately you're different, you're bullied, nobody wants to know you. So no matter how amazing this is, they just don't want to be different. They want to be the same. And some will actually shut down their abilities by going into drugs or alcohol because it makes it too hard to be in a world where you know that person that's talking to you isn't telling the truth. And you know they're not. You know they're lying to you because you have a sense that they're not being truthful. But you can't say to them, look, I know you're lying because I sense it or I know what you're thinking about. Because what do you think they're going to say to you? They're not going to want to know you even more if they think that you can tune into their thoughts. So many learn that it's not okay to be different. But when a child says to his mother, and this is some of the profound things these children say before they realize that they're different. One of these things, Mike Oram, a gentleman in England, he's now my age, said to his mother when he was four, there's going to be a shift of consciousness on this planet, not in your lifetime, but mine. He was 4 years old when he said this to his mother. His mother didn't understand. But you don't come out with that kind of profound thing at 4 years old. But these children do. And it's because they're having another education, and it's not terrestrial. It's extraterrestrial. And many of them talk about going on the craft and learning things on the craft, where they're using their mind and they're super conscious. And they have some have recall, some don't have recall. But they may actually be able to even draw the craft that they've gone on. But it seems like they gradually let go of that as they get older and realize it's not okay. Just like children who have memories of past lives eventually start to forget because they want to forget and they want to be they want to be the same, not different. Even though you might think, gosh, it would be wonderful to be different. But as a child, no, it isn't. Because if you're different, you're picked on. You have no friends. And people here in this room know that as soon as you're different to society, then people avoid you. You don't talk about this because it's not okay. Even when you're an adult, this happens. And there are people in this room know exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, even though yesterday, you know, we managed to have your talk being, you know, at the university, Hong Kong University, but in reality, you know, we actually have more lectures to be, you know, to be held at the university campus. But then we were kind of, you know, denied. So with exception of your lecture, because you came all the way from Australia. Now, so apparently, there's still lots of people, you know, even among the, you know, our university scholars or students, you know, they still try to resist this. And then we had, you know, we remember in yesterday, there was a student who raised the question, you know, and she just tried to, ask you to make all these definitions, which he can obviously, you know, look it up in the dictionary if that's what he was really after. So what are we faced with? You know, there's obviously a resistance from institutions, you know, of higher learning.
And this is the sad thing, isn't it? That we have an amazing enigma here, an amazing mystery, a phenomena that millions of people around the world are experiencing. And yet we can't get the academic institutions to start to take it seriously. And my biggest concern as a therapist and a counselor is that I have people coming to me that have, and some of them, and I've written about it in my book Awakening, there was one young girl that rang me at 19. At 14 years old, she went to her doctor and said she was seeing aliens and spaceships. And he said, there's no such thing. It diagnosed her as schizophrenic, and she was put on a cocktail of medications. So severe were these drugs that she ended up being quite suicidal. And it was only until many years later, when she was looking at talk programs and people talking about these experiences, did she finally realize that maybe her experiences were real. And then she finally contacted me. I have met people that have been put into psychiatric wards because they've actually said to their doctors, "I've seen aliens," or "I've seen spaceships," or whatever. They have been seen as hallucinating, schizophrenic, for example, and put on medication. Now, this is why I'm concerned, because here are people that are normal, credible, articulate, intelligent people, plainly quite normal, but are saying, "This is my experience." How can you medicate and see that as abnormal if they are functioning quite normally in this world but are just saying their experience is out of the box? You know, we've got to look at the way we understand our reality and realize already in string theory that we've got 11 dimensions, so they're telling us. That now we've got quantum theory that's saying that we could, of course, have a multidimensional universe. That DNA actually acts through miniature wormholes and has hypercommunication. They're calling wave genetics. It's communicating over distances. That this is now being seen by science, and yet they can't accept that in a galaxy and galaxies of trillions and trillions of stars, that we can be the only intelligent life. How ludicrous is that? How absolutely ludicrous. These are intelligent academics. How can you not wonder what's going on here? And yes, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, if we can't believe people's testimony, I mean, in a court of law, people's testimony is what we go on to decide whether a crime or a crime hasn't been committed. And yet, why can't we believe the testimony of millions of people all around the world, of all ages, of all sexes, all belief systems, that are saying, "This is my experience. I'm seeing non-human intelligent beings. And they're coming to me at night. They're leaving marks on my body. You know, that I have missing time. I can't explain." And when you regress them, you find they've been on spaceships. What is the problem about saying this is real? I don't understand.
Now, recently, you know, there's been talk about the year 2012, something is going to happen. And then with this increasing activities of UFO making their presence felt, is there any connection, you know, to this year to 2012? Is there any direction that you see from your many interviews with people who have this sort of experience?
What I'm hearing from those who have this experience, whether you call them contactees, experienced star children or whatever, many of them feel there's going to be a shift, that there's going to be a change, whether it's a change in consciousness or whether it's going to be more than that. Some have had precognitive dreams where they're shown cataclysms, but we don't necessarily know whether that's going to be the reality. Some feel it's more like it's going to be a shift in awareness, that we as a species are now evolving. And a lot of the children talk about this evolution of the species, calling it different names. And there's names given like indigo children, rainbow children, crystal children. There's a young boy in America, in Russia, called Boriska, that at 7 years old talked about his life on Mars, a past life on Mars. But he also talked about this planet, and there's going to be a shift. And he talked about the indigo children, and he said they're going to help this planet. So there seems to be a lot of the young, those that are having some of these experiences, that are aware there's going to be a shift on this planet. And I believe that whether or not it's 2012 or that we're actually even in that shift now, there is no doubt that these intelligences are saying that we are evolving and they're assisting us to evolve. And that what's happening on the craft is that people are being educated in the real origin of the species, in what reality consists of, in terms of time and space, quantum physics. All of these are part of the ET syllabus for this planet, but also showing how that we can work with our mind and actually assisting us to work with nonverbal communication, whether it's energetic or whether in fact it's going to be ultimately that we'll become a new kind of cosmic being that can communicate telepathically, like a lot of the experiences do actually on the craft. They say they go into a superconscious state, and everything with these beings is mind to mind, like a mind meld. And it's feelings and emotions as well as information. It's not the way that we communicate in such a limited way on this planet. So I think there is going to be a shift. And I think we're part of what can be, maybe in terms of a collective. We only need 10% of the planet to wake up before the rest of the planet wakes up. And I believe the Star Kids are part of that. And it could happen in 2012. It could be already be happening, as far as I know.
Now, on the one hand, you know, we can understand why people who have this kind of experience were kind of afraid to talk about it. But there are people who are very curious. You know, they actually want to be able to make contact. You know, including myself. You know, I read about the work of Dr. Stephen Greer. You know, and he actually organized groups.
Yes.
To train people to through meditation and invite you know the UFO or ET to kind of make their appearance. Now, I mean, I know Neil have also had this sort of ideas in mind, so that people in case people in Hong Kong really desire this sort of experience, we don't have to go to the United States and join Dr. Stephen Greer's group. So, if people are interested, where do we go from here?
I think for people who are interested, we have to do this on a very responsible and gradual basis. Now, the way I'm suggesting going forward with this is to get together, in the first instance, a group that I intuitively feel would be the right group of people to be able to liaise together, to join together, have the right state of mind, so that we can start off with a small number. Because normally, if people aren't experienced, the bigger the number, the more chaotic the group can be. So I'm starting to already, in my weekly newsletter, which I give out free on my website, if anybody subscribes, I already log all the sightings that we have. And I shall be issuing in my newsletter on www.exopoliticshongkong.hk, I shall be updating the people, especially in our group, on when we're going to do it. What I plan to do is to take a boat out on the other side of Lama, where it's quiet, and we hope to check with the weather forecast to make sure we've got a minimum of partly cloudy skies. Obviously, clear skies are the best. And we will come to follow certain protocols so that we can actually start off responsibly by looking, by feeling, by entering an altered state. And I'm very, very sure we'll, at least in the first instance, as some of my colleagues have had dreams come in while they're in this altered state. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then the next step may be a materialization.
Now, if this is going to happen, and people can contact you or visit your website, exopolitics.com.hk,
yes,
and then maybe inquire further.
They can inquire further, and what we will do at the UFO Club, we will actually vet the people and check that we have, you know, the right. What we don't want to do is have people who are going to be afraid. We're not here to scare people, and the ETs are very spiritual, so if somebody is slightly afraid, they may not come in close, or they may not even come at all. Whereas if everybody is open-minded and accepting, then we have a much greater chance of this happening. And I must tell you, this is what I told you last time.
Right.
This is galactic diplomacy. This is a typical example of where the ETs are bypassing the governments. And it's our responsibility to meet them halfway.
Well, Time is running short, you know, and we'd like to thank Mary Rockwell, coming all the way from Australia, and Neil and Teresa for sharing her personal experience. I guess you are in a comfortable group, you know, so you feel comfortable to talk about it. You haven't had a chance to tell everyone or all your friends about this experience of yours, which is a wonderful experience. Anyway, we will explore this further. You know, it turned out that this topic is a very popular topic among our listeners. So this is, you know, Neil, you know, you will help us in this area and enlighten us further. Thank you very much, Mary.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for listening. 多谢大家收听啦。咁我哋下个星期咧再继续啦。多谢。